This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
What's going on at the Department of Education, huh? Interesting. Something's up. Linda McMahon is going to be on Laura Ingraham tonight, but he's got a heads up that employees are being told to leave the Department of Education, clean out their stuff by 6 p.m. today through Thursday. All Department of Education offices were just ordered to be vacated at 6 p.m. today through Thursday. That tweet came out from our friends over at Libs of TikTok. So what's going on? Are we getting ready to finally shut down the Department of Education? That'd be nice, huh? That is the big story. That is the happy hour. This is 30 Minutes of Nonstop Talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place. And I'm very, very happy that this weather's beautiful, which means spring's in the air, but it also means spring break is in the air as well. So you should make your Easter spring break getaway reservation now. You save when you stay multiple nights, and breakfast is included in all packages. Book at Grand Hotel Cape May. .com. And thank you to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for sponsoring our happy hour. Okay, we got a lot to get to. Show's been loaded up, and we have 2 hours to go, and I feel like it's not going to be nearly enough time. We're waiting the vote on the CR. And let me just say, you know, President Trump today called for a primary against Tom Massie, Congressman Tom Massie. Now, I was asked about this earlier today on Newsmax, shameless plug. It's what I do best, as you know. Here's what I said. You're not going to beat Tom Massie in a primary. They tried three other times, and you're not going to beat him in the general election either. Pick the fights you can win. You're not going to win that one. Massie is a principled guy. Love him, hate him. There are times I agree with him. There are times I don't, but he's a very principled guy. But I think it goes down to the old rule in politics, which is that if you can't win a fight, don't pick it. Because as popular as President Trump is, Tom Massie in his district is also incredibly popular. So much so that today, and I don't feel the need to do this like other conservative hosts do national, but you had Jesse Kelly and Charlie Kirk. You had Matt Walsh, a bunch of others who all came out today and said, this is a terrible idea. Whoever's advising the president, don't do this. Don't go after Tom Massie. First of all, for the most part, you're not going to find a more principled guy when it comes to the Constitution than Tom Massie. Is he right all the time? No. As I tell Kenny and NJ all the time, no. Do I agree with him all the time? No. Should he be there? Yes. Absolutely, you want Tom Massie in the House of Representatives. He's a stalwart defender of the United States Constitution. And the problem is, you get rid of him, you get some guy who runs as being, you know, MAGA, and it turns out to be just like every other Republican, which is a spineless, not every other Republican, but like a lot of Republicans, a spineless, you know, go along with the ride kind of a guy. And that's not who he is, and we don't want people like that. We need people who are going to take principal positions, even if it means that, you know, it causes some consternation. That's okay. That's all right. But I think it would be a huge mistake to try to go after Massie, just like it was a huge mistake to go after Chip Roy, who, by the way, ironically enough, Congressman Chip Roy, who the president was calling for Chip Roy to be primaried, is out there today advocating the passage of this CR, saying that this CR should be passed because it gives the president the power of impoundment, which means that he can impound money. It also gets rid of earmarks and gimmicks, and it needs to happen. So Chip Roy, who was also in President Trump's crosshairs, out there advocating for it. Massey's going to be out there advocating for more things that are America first and MAGA than many other Republicans will. And he's not going to blow with the wind, which is a good thing, because if Trump ever gets unpopular, which could happen because that's the nature of politics sometimes, that could happen. Massey's still going to be out there fighting for the America first policies, of which he agrees with Trump on 99% of the time. So no, it's a bad idea, but it's also a bad idea because you're not gonna win that fight. Massey's gonna survive a primary. His constituents love the fact that they think he's a principled guy, and they want to see principled people. We need more principled people like Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Massey. And yeah, does it mean that we're always gonna agree with them? No, but it's better to have people like that than not have people like that. Because how many times have we been disappointed with Republicans who wind up acting like Democrats? And the one thing you could say about Massey is that's never going to happen with him. That's not going to happen. So yeah, let's just hope we get through this. If he's a no vote on the CR, so be it. That's okay. The speaker can afford one no vote. Right now it's Massey. But if there's another no vote, which is very possible, then maybe they got to rework some things here. Now, I understand the strategy, which is get it to the Senate, because it's probably going to die. It could die in the Senate, but there are going to be some Republicans in the Senate who are against this CR. The problem is that we keep saying we want to stop these continuing resolutions. We want to deal with these things once and for all instead of kicking the can down the road. Now, the good news about this CR is that it's not a giant omnibus bill. So there's that. But it's just it's an important point to note about, I think, politics in general, which is that if you get principled guys like Chip Roy, even when you don't agree with them and you get angry at him, but then when Chip Roy's on your side, just like when Massey's on your side, he's going to go to battle and go to war and not care if it makes him unpopular. He's just going to go to battle and go to war for what he thinks is right. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's why today, Chip Roy, the very same guy who had the ire of President Trump, is out there putting out the following statements regarding the CR and saying why it should pass. And the other point, too, is that we want consistent conservatives in there. But like everything else in life, there's a downside to everything. The downside to consistent conservatives is, yeah, you're gonna have a tough time convincing them to go along with things like continuing resolutions when we've been saying over and over again, no more continuing resolutions. We should not be doing that. So if you say that and then all of a sudden you turn around and you just abandon that principle, then you know, that's what also we complain about is these Republicans who, when it comes time to really go to war to try to change the status quo and try to change things, then they don't do it. And so keeping principled people in there, even if it means that we don't always get what we want or the president doesn't always get what he wants, is still better than not having them, in my opinion. Absolutely, 100%. And Massey, is he a grandstander? Sometimes, yeah, but I mean, a lot of them are. These are guys who are politicians. Politicians grandstand. It's what they do. The question is, do you want the grandstanding on the side of conservatism, the Constitution, and liberty, or do you want the grandstanding to be on other things that they want to grandstand on? So pick your poison in that sense. You know, pick your poison. Because I think when you look at it, it's better to have principled people than not have principled people. But Chip Roy thinks this bill is great. He's all in. He says, let's do this. You know, let's do this. Let's pass this CR. Everybody should vote for it. Everybody should pass it. And he said on the House floor a short time ago, he said, I would note that when we talk about continuing resolutions, what my colleague just failed to mention was the fact that literally every single Democrat voted for the CR that we just had in December, literally every single Democrat. The fact of the matter is, no, you don't want to have a CR to continue the funding under Joe Biden because Joe Biden was at war with the American people. Now we have a presidential administration that is trying to do the job that they sent him there to do, secure the border of the United States, hold back spending, eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse, get this economy going again, get the regulations out of the way of the American people, and do the job they want us to do. So Congressman Chip Roy, who in the past has been very staunchly against these CRs, feels like this one should pass for the reason that we have a different president in there. And he wants to see this go forward, given what's in there that will help the president do his job better. And I get that point, too. I understand this point. What I don't understand, though, is thinking that what we want to do is get rid of very principled conservatives in the House of Representatives when there are so few of them. We're talking about like 25, 30. They're an endangered species. But this is why Chip Roy supports it. He said this continuing resolution will freeze spending at current levels, keep the lights on for the president, Elon Musk, and Doge to identify waste, fraud, and abuse in spending, allow for the remodernization of our military. And that's why he's all in pushing for this. All right? So like I said, I mean, there's a lesson in that. And the other person who's expected to be a no vote in the Senate is Rand Paul. Mike Lee's against it as of right now. Kat Kamik's against it right now in the House. So maybe it will lead to a better bill. Maybe it will lead to a better bill. But I don't think it's a good idea to go after guys like Massey. I don't think it's a good idea to go after guys like Chip Roy. I just don't. I think it's better to have these battles in behind closed doors than to let these things spew out in public. There are so many phonies in the Republican Party in the House. Those two guys are not phonies. They're on opposite sides of this issue. Roy's for the CR, Massey's against it. Both of them have, at one point or another, had the ire of President Trump, who's come out against both of them on separate occasions, calling for them to be primaried. So it's not a good idea. And we should keep guys like that in the House. I would rather have conservative Republicans, really constitutional, principled conservatives in the House of Representatives than to not have them in the House of Representatives. There are just too many frauds and too many fugazis out there, in my opinion. But either way, you pick the fights you can win. This is not a fight that President Trump can win. You're not going to be successful in primarying Tom Massey. We also have too close of a this majority. We're talking about one or two votes here for the Republicans to be in charge. You don't want to risk it either. You don't want to risk having somebody who's not principled like a Massey and then losing a general election. I don't think he would in that district because it's pretty Republican, but still, you never know. You never know. You're playing with fire with that stuff. He's not Liz Cheney. To make the equation of Liz Cheney is just, it's not accurate. It's also not fair to him because he's endured a lot of slings and arrows for conservatives. Has he been right every time? No. Who is right every time? I mean, nobody. Very few people are right all the time. Let me share. We got a bunch of audio for you. We got a bunch of things here. I just want to play this for you as well. This is now, let's see here. If I can find this, there's a clip I wanted to play here. Let's see. Yes. Okay. This peace deal with Ukraine and Russia, which if it goes through, be the greatest thing ever. And Donald Trump will get the Nobel Peace Prize. Just kidding. There's no way they'd ever give it to him. They should, but they won't. But if they manage to pull this off, this would be a big deal. So Steve Witkoff, let's cue up cut number 12, special envoy Steve Witkoff, said President Zelensky apologized to President Trump after that Oval Office meeting. This is what he said, Zelensky said in his letter to the president, which has now kicked off this summit in Saudi Arabia, where today Marco Rubio and Mike Waltz announced that Ukraine has accepted the terms of the peace deal, the ceasefire, and now they're waiting for Russia to accept it. And by all accounts, I think Russia will, because if they don't, then President Trump's going to put sanctions on Russia, and I don't think Russia wants that. So we could really be finally getting a ceasefire in this war. Thank God. Cut number 12.
Zelensky sent a letter to the president. he apologized for that whole incident that happened in the Oval Office. I think that was an important step. And there's been a lot of discussion between our teams and the Ukrainians and the Europeans who are relevant to this discussion as well. And I would like to describe it as progress. And so I would hope that there's a deal.
Yeah, I would hope that there's a deal too. It would be good. It'd be wonderful for this country. It'd be wonderful for everything. And I love it. Vice President J.D. Vance was debating some protesters about Ukraine and saying, we're going to get a diplomatic settlement here. It's funny how many people don't seem to want one, though. You notice that? And I'm not just talking about the military-industrial complex, but a lot of people really don't want to see a peace deal. Why is that? Cut 13.
Settle. We're forcing both the Russians and the Ukrainians.
Russia won't settle.
Exactly. They certainly invaded Ukraine in 2022.
And
there needs to be
Georgia
a settlement.
Ma'am? They are the aggressor every time.
Ma'am, I understand that that's your view, and certainly they
have.
And certainly, I have condemned, ma'am. Please, right about there. I'm speaking with you, and I'm trying to be respectful. I have condemned the invasion, but I've also condemned the perpetual. That is the policy of the administration. And I've talked to you guys now.
So here's what Marco Rubio said. I played it earlier, but it's worth playing again, just in case you're missing it, just in case you're just joining us now, because that was a couple of hours ago. This happened right before we got on the air today, speaking to the press in Saudi Arabia. Let's cue up cut number 26. The Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, we've made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted. Take a listen.
Today, we made an offer that the Ukrainians have accepted, which is to enter into a ceasefire and into immediate negotiations to end this conflict in a way that's enduring and sustainable and accounts for their interests, their security, their ability to prosper as a nation. We both want to thank the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, His Majesty, for hosting us, for making this possible. They've been instrumental in this process, and we're very grateful to them for hosting us here today. And hopefully, we'll take this offer now to the Russians. And we hope that they'll say yes, yes to peace. The ball is now in their court. And but again, the president's objective here is number one, above everything else. He wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We hope the Russians will reciprocate.
Yeah, we do. And you know, the best way to defeat Vladimir Putin is oil and natural gas. I've told you this before, but Europe, all these countries that are giving money to Ukraine, $1 trillion they put into the pocket of Vladimir Putin by buying his oil and his natural gas. $1 trillion. It's a lot of money, yo. $1 trillion. You really want to defeat Putin? You allow the United States of America to become the king of the world when it comes to exporting liquid and natural gas so that countries buy our oil and our gas and not Putin's. That's how you really will defeat Vladimir Putin in the end. You defeat him economically. Now, we don't have to have war, and he'll stay in his lane, and everybody wins. But the left has opposed that, too. The left has staunchly opposed the United States of America drilling and exploring for new oil and natural gas and also exporting it. That's why we had a liquid natural gas export ban under the previous administration. Here's Mike Waltz, his cube cut number 27, the national security advisor, talking about this peace deal. Take a listen.
Just think about it. We've gone from if the war is going to end to now how the war is going to end. And this was an important first step. And that was under President Trump's leadership. He has literally moved the entire global conversation to where we had a very senior Ukrainian delegation with us today. We've had engagements with our Russian counterparts. And now it's how the war is going to end. And that's under President Trump's leadership.
But all fighting needs to stop. And that's the key here. All right. All fighting needs to stop. This is Mike Waltz, cut 28. Take a listen.
The president has made it clear and certainly made it clear to us that all fighting needs to stop. And the Ukrainians have agreed to that proposal. They're ready for peace. And now we'll take that to the Russians and get their response.
Good. Excellent stuff. All right. There's a question we often ask on this show, and it's a game we've played on Jimmy Failla's show on Saturday nights, which is wine or pills? Wine or pills? So let's go back to the vice president of the United States, former vice president of the United States of America, Kamala Harris. And man, did we dodge a bullet here. Kamala Harris talking at this scientific innovation thing, this Human X AI conference in Las Vegas. So we're going to start with cut number 25. As she tries to explain what scientific innovation looks like. As you listen to this, I want you to think, is this wine, pills, or a combo day? Because I really do believe there's combo days involved. And here's what I mean by that. Some people, when they drink a lot, get anxiety. So they take Valium to deal with the anxiety. So it could be a wine and pill day at the same time. Especially if you've had a couple drinks, the anxiety starts to kick in, you take a Valium, now you've got wine and pills, combo platter. And I think that's what we may have going on right here. Cut number 25.
So I was willing to give up whatever might be the trackings of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos for the sake of getting a big bag of Doritos as I watched the Oscars.
That's the consumer behavior.
And that's right, but here's the thing.
Here's
the thing. At what point do we also uplift and highlight the consumer's right to also expect, and you can debate with me if it should be a right. I think it should. To expect that the innovation would also be weighted in terms of solving their everyday problems, which are beyond my craving for Doritos, but about whatever, and I know the work is happening around, you know, scientific discoveries, for example, to cure long-standing diseases. But I'm going to throw out another one. And you all, again, please get back to me any information you have. I would love it if there would be an investment of resources in solving the affordable housing issue in America. Like, help me with that. Help me with that.
So the slurring, number one, but how do we go from AI to the affordable housing crisis in America? I really love to, and she keeps bringing up Doritos. You know, when people are high, I'm going, you know what? It's not wine. It's not pills. It's a weed day. It's a pure, back in California, it's an edibles day. That's what this is. This is an edibles day because the craving for Doritos is clearly somebody who is high as a freaking kite. I don't smoke pot, but people that do tell me that the first thing they think of when they're high is Doritos. And that certainly sounds like it. And you can clearly hear her slurring in that speech. No doubt about that. But if you're wondering, what is all this here? So let's cue up cut number 24. She talks about how she used DoorDash to get Doritos delivered. Who the hell in their right mind uses DoorDash to get Doritos delivered? Like, your craving for Doritos is that intense? It's that strong? Okay, no one sober, that's who. No one sober possibly does that under no circumstances. Cut 24.
So we did DoorDash because I wanted Doritos. And the red carpet part was about to start. Nobody wanted to leave to go to the grocery store. So it was DoorDash. And I'm thinking about this, so I was willing to give up whatever might be the trackings of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos for the sake of getting a big bag of Doritos as I watched the Oscars.
Matt DeSantis, what the hell did she just say in that clip? I don't understand. Was that even in English?
Well, from what I gather, she's speaking at an AI conference, and her experience with the technology is limited to ordering Doritos via DoorDash, which, by the way, I'm not even certain is an AI technology. It's just a service.
So essentially now they're like, do you want to talk about AI and do you want to talk about technology? She's like, yeah, totally. So I had a great story about my use of technology. There's this app. It lets you order. And I use it to order Doritos. That's basically what we just listened to.
Pretty much.
Now, if your high as a kite teenage son said that to you, you'd take away his devices for a week and also raid his drawers and go through, right? Would you not? That woman almost became president. Well, she didn't almost, because she had no chance of winning, but she could have theoretically been president of the United States of America.
I got to imagine, if you're an attendee of this HumanX AI conference, you got to be pretty disappointed if that's the level of expertise that they've brought to the table, you know, in terms of speakers, right?
Yeah. Because a lot of people that are into all this stuff are pretty smart and pretty intelligent. They want to hear about cutting edge technologies in the future. People have been ordering on DoorDash for a long time now. Long time.
Yeah, there was
this
great
discovery of ordering on DoorDash or Uber Eats or Slice, or they didn't just come up with it this week.
Yeah, there's a great article in the New York Times, I think just yesterday, about how AI was being used to generate new drugs to combat diseases. And she's talking about Doritos.
It's like if the AI knows I'm in a Cool Ranch mood, you know, you know, and it orders it for me. But then it gets home and I go, I want my nacho cheese. Or maybe I want the spicy cheese, whatever that one. But the AI can avoid all that, and you get the right bag of Doritos that you want. That's the beauty of AI. You'll always get the bag of Doritos, but maybe not. Maybe the AI doesn't quite understand us. It needs to be more human. And maybe one day it'll be sentient. Sentimental. And it'll know if I really want. Maybe I want the spicy Kick Ranch one. I mean, she's, whoa. When is she going to enter? She really sounds like somebody who, that you need an intervention. This is the moment where you think it's time to bring the family and friends in the room. You know, I mean, it's kind of sit down and chat a little bit. Just throwing it out there. Wow. I'm inspired. All right. We got to take a quick break, though. We got more to come. We're watching this vote on the continuing resolution, the CR vote that could happen right now. The show is flying by. It's hard to believe, really. We are just cooking with gasoline here. It really is amazing stuff. But I'm very happy you're here. I'm very happy that we got a lot to chat about. You can feel free to weigh in on our YouTube chat. Just go to the 1210 WPHD, like it, subscribe while you're there. You can also tweet me at Rich Zeoli. More to come. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so the question is, will we be able to talk to Congressman Scott Perry? He is probably on the floor right now. We're hoping he's going to call in, and if he does, we'll certainly grab him. But there's a lot going on right now on the House floor as they're dealing with the vote on the continuing resolution. So kind of up in the air, but that's okay. We got a lot to chat about. One thing I'll mention, though, as we're waiting, hopefully, for the congressman to hear, is that Pennsylvania, Governor Josh Shapiro, many years ago, there was this issue, a couple years ago, not that many, but a couple years ago, there was this issue with this guy who was one of his aides, top aide, involved in a sexual harassment scandal, and they settled with this woman for close to $300,000. You remember this? And this is one of those situations where Josh Shapiro and his sainted image really needs to get called out here, because the story today in Broad and Liberty by our buddy Todd Shepard, Shapiro administration can't locate key emails in sexual harassment case, zero emails on the server. That's what they're saying. A week worth of emails from a former Shapiro administration deputy cabinet secretary no longer exist. So I'm going to talk about that as well. But there's another piece from BroadandLiberty.com today that I love today. And it's, you want to talk about how to defund the Kremlin? You want to do it? You want to do it? Well, Martina White, who's fantastic, and David N. Taylor have a piece together in Broad and Liberty. No time for talk. Shapiro must act now to defund the Kremlin. What do they mean by that? What does that mean? Well, you know, after the meeting blew up last week in the Oval Office, Josh Shapiro jumped into the fray, put out a statement blaming the president and the vice president, and then gave his own tough talk against Russia. Now, clearly today, there's been a peace deal announced. At least Ukraine's accepted it. We're waiting on Russia to accept it. But as Martina White points out, why don't you take some action here in Pennsylvania? Why don't you do something? If Shapiro truly cared about the safety and security of America and standing with our European allies, he would act now by supporting the development of a liquefied natural gas export facility in southeast Pennsylvania. Boom. It could easily be done, and there are private investors at the ready, but there's one obstacle: the Pennsylvania state government. The war in Ukraine has made painfully clear the consequences of Europe's dependency on Russian natural gas for its energy. 4 years later, the European Union is still paying the price while Russia continues funding its war efforts from its sizable energy exports. Oil and natural gas exports make up anywhere between 30 to 50% of Russia's yearly federal budget revenues, making it the largest single revenue source by far. You want to defund Kremlin's war machine? It begins with replacing Russian energy with U.S. energy exports. With its strategic location and sizable natural gas reserves, Pennsylvania is uniquely positioned to support our European allies by meeting their liquid natural gas needs more efficiently. Exports from the Philadelphia region can reach Europe at least a week faster than those from Texas, Louisiana, and other Gulf Coast states. That's a big deal. All while providing an economic boom to the Philadelphia region by supporting nearly, ready for this, 32,000 jobs, $2.7 billion in labor wages, and $4.3 billion in gross state product. Wow, that's a lot of cashish. Turning a liquid natural gas export facility into reality requires more than just words from the governor. It demands real action. That means genuine support for expanding state permitting processes to accelerate development while also ensuring that industry-killing energy taxes never take root in Pennsylvania. Right now, the Shapiro administration is appealing a Commonwealth Court decision to keep in place an unconstitutional $800 million energy tax scheme known as REGI, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, while simultaneously pitching his own new energy tax proposal known as the PACER program. Here's the reality, they point out in their piece. Carbon taxes stifle economic growth and signal to industries and energy producers that they're better off doing business elsewhere. Governor Shapiro has the power to withdraw from REGI and put an end to any new energy taxes in Pennsylvania and make the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania a global energy leader. Let me break from their piece for a moment and just point out the reason why he won't do this. And it's the same reason why no Democrat will do this if they want to run for president, and that is because their party's insane, and their party, this would kill your chances for the nomination in 2028. And because Shapiro's a selfish guy, he's going to put his own political ambition ahead of what's best for Pennsylvania. Think about it now. This is a chance for him, if he were smart, to break out and form his own lane. So look at 2028 broadly. You've got Gavin Newsom. Let's start there. Gavin Newsom's strategy is, I'm going to come across like the everyman, yucking it up with Charlie Kirk and Michael Savage and all these other guys and show everybody, I'm a regular guy. I'm going to pull a page out of Bill Clinton. I'm the kind of guy you'd have a beer with. Even though he's a tyrant, and when it comes to energy, he's a kook. With his windmills and his wind turbines and his solar panels and his mandates on EVs and everything else and all the other climate change nonsense that he put in place in California to literally destroy the state of California. Okay, so there's that. On the East Coast, you've got His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable Phil Murphy, who went and fought very, very hard to put in whale and dolphin killing wind turbines all the way up and down the Jersey Shore. Okay, so don't you think this is an area where you could have Josh Shapiro, if he was smart, could break away and say, look, this is good for America, good for America's energy independence. And if you really want to talk about weakening Vladimir Putin, this is how you do it, because Europe gave Vladimir Putin $1 trillion in 2024 alone. But he'd never make it out of the primary because there's too many kooks that are anti-oil and natural gas. Too many climate change kooks. So it's a non-starter. Pennsylvania has lost many other projects to competitor states because it simply takes too long for shovels to touch dirt because of excessive regulations, all of which are enforced by the governor's office. Investors look to other locations because no matter how many times he says government should move at the speed of business, it doesn't. Shapiro says he wants to support the safety and security of America and our national security interests. Instead, he is the face of an unpredictable regulatory environment, overly burdensome state permitting processes, and the looming threat of $800 million in energy taxes, casting a dark cloud over Pennsylvania's future and leaving our European allies out in the cold. Martina White, of course, Representative Martina White, who's fantastic. David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, writing this together. And broadandliberty.com, they say, true leadership demands action, not empty rhetoric. Unless Governor Shapiro backs his words with decisive action, his statement, like so many before, remains nothing more than political showmanship, the worst kind of hypocrisy. Pennsylvania's energy producers are ready to unleash the full potential of Pennsylvania natural gas to support our European allies and make the world a safer place. If what he really wants is to not cower to dangerous dictators like Vladimir Putin, then build a liquid natural gas terminal in Southeast PA. Load up the ships on the Delaware River and send them across the Atlantic. He can make it happen if he actually wanted to, but he doesn't, because he doesn't want to hurt his chances in 2028. I added the last part, but that's the reality. That's a fact. That's a fact. So you're not going to get that from Governor Josh Shapiro. You should, but you're not going to. And damn, that would be great, huh? I mean, that would be amazing. It would be amazing if that were to happen. So, yeah. Liquid natural gas export facility right in Southeast PA. Be great. Oh, and you're hearing a lot about Canada and the tariffs and this back and forth with Canada. Some breaking news today during the show. It turns out that Canada has backed down on the electricity surcharge threat after Trump tariff threats. So Canada was going to cut off electricity to the United States of America. The premier of Ontario and the U.S. Commerce Secretary are going to meet on Thursday. But they had put a threat in today, a 25% surcharge on electricity coming into the United States. They even talked about just cutting it off completely after President Donald Trump said he would double the tariffs on Canada's steel and aluminum products. Well, Ontario Premier Doug Ford said Tuesday that he had agreed to suspend the electricity import surcharge after speaking with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, which two called a productive conversation in a joint statement. And they're going to meet on Thursday to discuss all these things. So there you go. That's good. That's some good news right there. All right, what do we got on the vote, Justin, Matt? We're watching this vote. What do we got?
Matt is a little bit behind me, but
he's behind everything, behind on everything. Why should that shock any of us?
But if I believe I heard the speaker pro tempore, the CR passed 217 to 213. Just waiting for Matt to get caught up so I can get confirmation.
Okay, well, there you go.
I also have 217, 213, in case anyone is wondering.
Which means that the continuing resolution has passed the House of Representatives.
Yes. And then, yes, according to Politico last night, they were saying that Speaker Johnson was going to send members home for recess before the Senate can send back any changes, which would obviously place a lot of pressure on Schumer and Democrats to help bypass that 60-vote filibuster.
There you go. There you go. All right. Oh, by the way, see this in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers is a cigar. You get a close-up on that. It's got a Zeoli Army label on it. This is a... Let's see, I need my glasses to read this now. So my friends at the Smoking Dog, they were a great sponsor of the show for years. This is a Freedom Dog cigar, Zeoli Army edition. I got that as a little gift. Isn't that nice? Look at that label. Look at that. Now, I would light it up and smoke it in my home studio, but then my wife would probably have a divorce attorney on site. This is a Smoking Dog 10th anniversary exclusive edition. Look at that. See that? A beautiful thing right there. A Zeoli Army cigar. Man, I'd love to light this up right now. You know how fast she would kill me? I mean, kill me. Kill me. Murder me if I smoke this in the house.
Is it a Cuban cigar? Thing.
No, Freedom Dog it's got an American flag on it. Let's see, Freedom Cigar by Oscar Valla. I can't even my glasses on, I can't read that print. Here, Google Freedom Dog cigar for me and see where they're located.
All right, let's see.
Got an American flag, so I'm guessing they're America. America,
I feel like
baby.
You should smoke a Cuban cigar in honor of Canada getting a new prime minister. Well, not official
yet. Are you
yet,
suggesting that Justin Trudeau is in fact the bastard love child of Fidel Castro? Is that why you're saying that?
I'm not suggesting that. I just thought it would be nice for you to smoke a Cuban in his honor.
In honor of, don't I kind of look like Justin's dad right now with a cigar in my mouth, don't I?
Huh? That's not what Pierre looks like.
Because he's not his father, allegedly. But this cigar is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Freedom dog, baby. Freedom dog. Freedom dog. I like that. Man, this weather's great. We should be doing the show outside today. You know what I mean? So, I'm just saying. All right. Well, I guess Congressman Perry's not going to be able to make it. It looks like the vote is, but the vote's passed, so the CR is good to go. And a couple of Republicans voted no. Do we have a list of the no votes yet? We obviously know Massey was one of them. Do you have the others?
I think it was just Massey.
From what I saw, it was, yeah, I think it was just Massey.
Just Massey? Okay.
Yeah.
See, even
doesn't look like anybody else.
Even though Massey was able to take a principal position, they were still able to pass it. So there's no reason to primary him and keep him there. And, you know, just like that. There you go. That'd be nice. So just saying. Let's see what else we have here. Well, man. All right. I was hoping maybe we'll get the congressman on for tomorrow. But the big news today, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, because it is spring and a lot to smile about out there. Have you called his office yet? 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or go to VeneriaDental.com. Philadelphia Eagles are planning to visit the White House on April 28th to celebrate the Super Bowl win. Caroline Leavitt announced that today at the White House. I know there was a lot of fake news about an invitation that wasn't sent or was sent. We want to correct the record. We sent an invitation. They enthusiastically accepted, and you will see them here on April 28th. That's what the press secretary said today at the White House press briefing. President Trump had said they deserve to be down here, and we hope to see them. And obviously, this marks a big shift since 2018 when the Eagles did not go to the White House. So there you go. There was that fake news story about this, and I'm glad it was fake news. So they'll be going on the 28th, and the press secretary announcing that today from the White House podium. She had a lot to say. It was a busy day today at the White House press briefing. Like every day is busy. And then the president and Elon Musk went outside, and they had a lot of questions with the reporters on various different topics. I just saw this too, a few moments ago. Looks like here that, oh no, I'm sorry. That's not, I was hoping for a second. We were going to see if Russia had accepted the peace term agreement. I thought I saw a blip on that, but it does not seem so. Russia has not said no or anything like that, but they're still waiting on Russia. The terms of this, just so you know, is that, and here's what they've offered in some detail. If you're looking for some detail on this, the U.S. will resume sharing intelligence with Ukraine and its pause on military aid to the Eastern European country after successful talks in Saudi Arabia. Now, I don't want any aid going to Ukraine, but hopefully if there's a ceasefire, we won't have to have Ukraine going. Now, if we can get minerals out of this, then there we go. At the meeting, Kyiv proposed two other main lines of effort to which they would agree to with Russia in addition to the ceasefire: the release of prisoners of war and detainees, both military and civilian, and the return of Ukrainian children who were forcibly transferred to Russia. The American side understands our arguments and considers our proposals. I am grateful to President Trump for the constructive conversation between our teams. During today's talks, the U.S. side proposed taking an even bigger first step, a 30-day full interim ceasefire, not only stopping missile, drone, and bomb attacks, not only in the Black Sea, but also along the entire front line. Ukraine is ready to accept this proposal. We see it as a positive step and ready to take it. Now it is up to the United States to convince Russia to do the same. If Russia agrees, the ceasefire will take effect immediately. They're still talking about specifics kind of back and forth, but that's what we're waiting on. And the president said today from the South Lawn of the White House, he said that Ukraine has agreed to it and hopefully Russia will agree to it as well. And that's great news. Really great news. I mean, it's the kind of thing that makes you very, very happy to see that there could be peace in the world. So if this happens and Russia accepts this and this ceasefire holds, then for all these years that Biden was in there in the White House and never even tried to broker a ceasefire. Think about that. Never even tried. But it's worse than that, because the Democrats at one point put a joint letter out asking Biden to do ceasefire talks, and that letter disappeared faster than a bag of Doritos after Kamala Harris was stoned. 7 days later, that letter to President Biden by a bunch of Democrats, Bernie Sanders included, asking him to immediately start ceasefire talks with Ukraine and Russia, went away, gone. The military-industrial complex got to them, and they were just at that point going forward, just give Ukraine money, 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 money. And now we may finally have peace. Or as Mike Waltz put it today, it's not a matter of if, but a matter of how we achieve that peace. And that's a great thing. I love that. Makes me really happy. So good. But think, for 4 years, the administration never tried to do anything other than just keep writing checks. And you got to say to yourself, why is that? And the reason I think is because Zelensky had the goods on Biden. He didn't have the goods on Trump, but he had the goods on Biden. So I think not only did Joe Biden like the fact that he was able to keep the military-industrial complex happy, but Zelensky would threaten him and say, the truth will come out about all your son's business dealings in Ukraine. You know, the stuff that President Trump tried to get from Ukraine that led to his impeachment, which was absolutely ridiculous. So there's that aspect of it, too, just as a reminder. Oh, and our buddy Jack Carr, I just want to mention this real quick. Jack Carr provided an update on his highly anticipated prequel with Chris Pratt. So Jack Carr posted the other day on his social media accounts, it was 4 years ago this week that they that something very, very big happened. We hosted him, actually. I'm sorry, it was actually, 4 years ago, filming began on The Terminalist, but it was actually 2018 when we hosted Jack Carr for The Terminalist Book Club. That was back, our speaker series event, 7 years ago? But now they have the Terminalist Dark Wolf coming out this year. New show, brand new show, prequel, and that's going to be great. Chris Pratt back as James Reese, and we are hoping, really hoping, that we're going to be able to host Jack Carr again for his next book, which is coming out later this year as well. So that could be really cool. And it's a Ben Edwards prequel origin story starring Taylor Kitsch as Ben. And hey, maybe if we can't do the book thing, maybe we can do like a watch party for the new show. That could be kind of cool too. All right, our fourth and final hour straight ahead. We got breaking news all over the place. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.